Yes, Representative Rudolph. Thank you for coming.
Anytime.
Representative Brown, would you like to approve the minutes for March 7th?
I move the minutes for March 7th.
Thank you. Any discussion? If none, those in favor?
Yep. Aye.
Opposed? Motions have been approved.
Yep.
Representative Walsager, welcome to our committee.
Good afternoon. Chair, members, I'd like to move House File 551.
Excuse me. We'll have to have Representative Faust do that for you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
I forgot that I was...
Madam Chair, I move the committee engrossment of House File 551 with recommendation to pass and to be referred to taxes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All those... Oh, no. Not yet. We were getting so fast and we almost let you
well,
get by
me
without
here,
even testifying.
Oh, sorry. With me here today to testify is Colonel Eric Allness of the Minnesota National Guard, so I'm so pleased that the Colonel's with me today. This bill would allow a tax deduction for National Guard personnel serving under Title 32 of the Federal Code. Right now, only Minnesota members of the Reserves, Title 10 of the Federal Code, are allowed a subtraction from federal taxable income. This bill may affect up to 2,000 taxpayers. It is effective retroactively, beginning with tax year 2005, and the fiscal impact is less than $1 million total. Now, I would like to point out that this bill would or will be a moot point if House File 300 passes in its entirety. House File 300 addresses both military payments and pension. House File 551 only addresses the military payments. Now, many of you maybe know these statistics, but I just wanted to highlight them for you. We currently have 3,300 Minnesota National Guards serving overseas. And just a distinction on federal status, Title 10, the President of the United States is the chief, and that's what is referred to as the military reserve. And when we talk about federal status, Title 32, the governor is the chief. And certainly the president can call the guard to duty, and the governor has to accommodate. But federal status, Title 32, refers to the guard. And the guard can be called to assist with things such as immigration border control, Hurricane Katrina, the Republican Convention, 2008, so, and training out state. So, with that, I'll ask Colonel Allness if he wants to add anything.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colonel Eric Allness, Department of Military Affairs. Representative Wolfschlager really covered it well. So, just in conclusion, is what this would do is provide level playing ground so that your National Guard will get the same tax benefits as other reservists. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments to the testifiers and Representative Walsager? If not, Representative Phelps, would you like to?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I remove the committee engrossment of House File 551 with recommendation to pass to be referred to taxes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you going to be doing
something? Representative Hawes. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee members.
Representative Faust, would you like to move?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee engrossment of House File 1157 with recommendation to pass and be referred to the General regulations. Register.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you like me to speak to Bill 1157?
Yes, please. Thank you.
1157 is an agency bill. It expands the use of the support our troop funding. The support our troop funding comes from license plates, which eventually is blended into the MMFF fund, which is a Minnesota Military Family Foundation. It's about $250,000 a year given out in grants not to exceed $2,000. And they've expanded the qualifications for a little bit. And I have an expert testimony here by Mr. Terry Palmer, and I would like to give him the floor if you would so desire.
Thank you. Could you state your name for the committee, please?
Madam Chair, committee members, Terry Palmer, Department of Military Affairs. I'm the comptroller for the department.
Thank you.
We've had a grant agreement with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation to provide financial assistance to soldiers and their families, I should say soldiers and airmen and Marine reservists and all any active component people, too. But we've noticed that there's been a several requests for financial assistance that come from people who are not in one of the statuses listed in the original authorizing language. And oftentimes what will happen, a soldier or an airman or a reservist will go to training and be mobilized. So they'll quit their job, go off to training, and then they'll be medically disqualified at the initial training installation, or they'll be injured and sent home. And the problem is they don't qualify for veterans assistance because they're not veterans, and they're not in any particular military status at that point, because they have to go through some rather rigorous examination to figure out whether or not they would be qualified for some disability income of some sort. So in the meantime, they've got bills coming in, and we can't help them under that current legislation. That's what we hope to do with this change, is to provide assistance to those people that find themselves in this predicament.
Thank you. Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What is the fund balance every year that comes in on support our troops revenue?
The support our troops revenue, it's been about $277,000 the last couple of, well, the last year and a half.
And Madam Chair, do you give all that money out in a year, or do you carry a fund balance forward, and if so, how much?
We carry a fund balance forward. I think we have
Well, he's looking for that. Let me give you some empirical numbers. I think the fund balance is probably $276,599, about like that, in the support our troops, and it's about $1 million in the MMFF. And so far this year, I think they have $18,000 or 14 grants going out so far in this year.
So what's out of the 270 every year, how much do you spend? That's what I'm looking for.
We received the funds and gave the grant agreement. It started in July of 06, so we have less than a year of actual experience with the foundation funds. But we expect that the business will pick up quite a bit now with the extension of the 1st Brigade Combat Team from the Minnesota Guard. But at the current pace, it'll probably be $45,000-$50,000 a year in grants based on the current language if the experience holds true.
So I guess my question is, this isn't going to a finance committee, how do you coordinate if this is military affairs gets this pot of money, is that right?
Military affairs gets one half of the proceeds from the sale of the license plate. The other half goes to veterans affairs. And the amount we're talking about is the half that goes to military affairs.
So how do we coordinate? It looks like you're, at least on the first year, carrying a substantial amount forward. How do we coordinate the folks that comes into the VA and the military affairs? Do you do some coordination? The same person is contacting both of you. Do you work together on that? Or am I able to make two phone calls and get two checks for the same deficiency? I'm just wondering how we coordinate this money between the two departments.
Mr. Palmer.
Madam Chair, Representative, because of data privacy Act problems. We don't deal directly either at Military Affairs or with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation with individual soldiers or their families. We direct them all to the National Guard family assistance centers that are located around the state. And those are federally funded activities that are available to any service member and their families, whether they're active or reserve, it doesn't make any difference. They go to that installation first, and they do a rather rigorous background check to make sure the person is who they say they are. And they also work with them to help them tap all the local resources that might be available before they send the request on. And one of the things they do check is whether or not they are a veteran and whether or not they qualify for assistance from the Veterans Department.
Madam Chair.
Representative Haas.
Representative Junkie. And Mr. Palmer, correct me if I'm wrong. The expansion of these categories for the following year, if this bill is successful, would be that they would not be qualifying for other veteran services, that what they're asking for would not be qualified within the veteran service program.
Mr. Palmer.
Madam Chair, that's correct. This category of people would only include those who do not yet qualify as veterans for whatever reason. Either they haven't applied for that status or they're not eligible for that status. But nonetheless, they've been activated for some service, whether it's Title 10 or Title 32 or state active duty, which is what the original authorizing language allows for. But we work closely with Veterans Affairs, and we do everything electronically through email, and we work closely with the Deputy Commissioner Puglisi and Veterans Affairs to make sure we're covering as many people as we can within the rules and making sure we're not having people go to both agencies for the assistance for the same matter. That's typically not the case.
Representative
Mr. Chair. Madam Chair, Representative Junkie, this will also allow better usage of the SOT fundings, and then it's blended with the other donation fund. So this qualifies more people for the $2,000, and then anything in excess of that can be blended from the other accounts.
Are there any other questions? Comments? If not, Representative Bowes, will you?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I remove restate my motion that the committee move engrossment of House File 1157 with recommendation to pass and be referred to the General Register.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Thank you.
Victims are always on. No. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members.
Welcome, Representative Severson. Representative Falls, would you like to?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee engrossment of House File 903 with recommendation to pass and be referred to the General Register.
Thank you. Representative Severson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. And House File 903 is a resolution to the body of Congress, basically to step up to the plate and be true to their word. The Montgomery GI Bill Selected Reserve is a provision in law that basically differentiates from the active duty side. And then on the active duty side, when you perform active duty service and you get out, you have 14 years in which to use your educational benefits. Under the Selected Reserve Bill, there are provisions in there that basically say when your enlistment ends, your educational entitlements end. So what's happening is we have our reservists who are stepping up to the plate in unprecedented numbers being mobilized over to overseas in harm's way. They're coming back, and they may have a year left on their enlistment, and they have 1 year to use up those 3 years of actual educational entitlements. So they are not getting to use their educational benefits. And it's kind of a bait and switch that's been taking place here. We've had contact from numerous reservists, and you probably had some in your district that basically say, I signed up the reserve, I signed for a six-year stint, I was mobilized once, I went to school for a year, got mobilized again, came back, I've got a year left on my enlistment, and they tell me unless I enlist, re-up, that my ability to use those educational benefits will be over when my enlistment is over. So they're actually using it as kind of a catch-22. You can't use those benefits unless you're enlisted, and then when you enlist, then they mobilize you. And so this is not partisan. This isn't about should we be over there or not. This is about being true to our word and actually doing the things that we as a government say that we're going to do. So this resolution merely is to go, hopefully, to the House floor, get voted on and sent to Congress to say last year they had the bill in front of the Congress to fix this. They did not fix it. And this is for the citizens of Minnesota to say, you know what? We believe that the service that our reservists are doing over there is as good as the active duty guys, and they should have the same consideration that our active duty counterpart does when it comes to educational benefits. Now, it may not look exactly like the active duty. Obviously, when the active duty get off, they've got 14 years to use those educational benefits. We're not asking for that, but we're asking for some kind of compromise that at least gives them the opportunity to use the 4 years of education that they're really entitled to once they sign on the dotted line, if, in fact, the recruiters are telling them the truth. So this is about being true to our word, and I would stand for any questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Are there any questions? Comments? Any testifiers? You don't have any? Okay, thank you. Representative Powell?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I remove my motion that the committee move the engrossment of House File 903 with recommendation to pass and be referred to the General Register.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Representative Doty. Welcome, Representative Doty.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'm here today to move the first committee engrossment of House File 1134 to be recommended to pass and be returned to finance.
Thank you.
I will speak briefly to this bill, and Colonel Almas will also be available as soon as we finish. If you have questions for either of us to make this plainer, we'll be happy to stand for questions. It was recently discovered that the Minnesota National Guard does not have the authority to operate this instrumentality, which is essentially a quality of life program which purchases and provides recreational equipment for use by the military. The only choices available were to either stop doing these activities or basically make these activities at Camp Ripley subsidiary of Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. And the idea of cheeseheads telling us how to spend our money was not particularly attractive to a lot of people, and so we're hoping this is the route. There is no impact on the state budget. The instrumentality would receive funds from several sources. Portion of the sales revenue from the post exchange at Camp Ripley, the recycling program at Camp, and it would also allow private donations and gifts from the public to be handled through that fund. If this bill doesn't pass, again, the result is simply either shut down the activities or operate as a satellite facility from Fort McCoy, which is certainly likely to at least cause a decrease in the amount of these activities. That is pretty much a summary. It's not a long, complicated bill. So at this point, I'll stand for questions, and Colonel Wallace is certainly willing to provide more specifics if anyone would like to hear them.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Comments? I think it's a good idea.
Thank you.
Representative Doty, do you want to
if there are no more questions or comments, I would renew my motion to move the first committee engrossment of House File 1134 to be recommended to pass and re-referred to finance.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
So, exactly when they come in.
Thanks for your hard work.
So, is there any other business? If not, the committee is adjourned.